Welcome to My Therapist Is Out, an open space therapy collective podcast. We are your hub for queer and trans mental health care. Each episode, we talk with one of our open space therapists or LGBTQ community member about mental health and building community. I am your host, Renee Johnson, they, them. Founder of Open Space Therapy Collective, I'm a licensed therapist and an art therapist. I specialize in working with queer artists who are exploring their gender identity and recovering from complex trauma. This week, we are talking with Kristen Crow, she, they. Kristen is a licensed therapist, dance movement therapist, and clinical supervisor with Open Space Therapy Collective. Kristen specializes in working somatically with adults and partners to help heal the mind-body connection so you can feel more grounded and vibrant every day. As we dive into today's topic, please keep in mind that this is a mental health podcast. We will talk about sensitive and difficult issues that are not appropriate for all audiences. Please take care while listening. Hey, we had a really great conversation about polyamory and non-monogamy and the importance of making sure that your therapist is informed about these things if you are going to therapy for your relationships or if you're going to therapy at all, really. Your relationship styles are really unique and really personal to you, and you need to make sure that your therapist understands that. And Kristen and I really get into the details of why and why it's important to have your therapist already educated in this so they can support you in making sure that you have the relationship styles that are fulfilling for you, that are enriching for you, that are helping you grow, instead of trying to conform and fit you in the box or they're out of sync and not really understanding what's happening. So join us, dive in, send us questions, let us know what you think. We love hearing from you. info@openspacetherapycollective.com, DM us on any of the socials, and let's dive in. Welcome to My Therapist Is Out, an Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. I'm your host, Renee Johnson, and we have one of our OSTC therapists today with us, Kristen Crow. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, happy to be here.
We are going to dive into why you need a poly-friendly therapist today, which is, I think, a big deal, and it's going to be really helpful to pull apart with you because you really specialize in this area. But before we dive in, why did you pick this topic? Why did you want to talk about this today?
Well, like you said, like I see a lot of this in my relationship session. So even if I'm only seeing two of the folks in relationship, they have other folks that are in their circles. And it's hard to navigate and pull apart. And it feels like it's hard for them to find someone who is open and accepting and willing to work with the different dynamics that show up.
It's always amazing to me how just finding somebody that's open to it is really hard, or finding a therapist that's open to it is really hard.
Yes.
And finding somebody who knows what they're talking about on top of that.
Yes.
Anyway, so we're going to get into it. To start, can you define poly for us? Because there's poly, there's ethical non-monogamy, there's open relationships. So if maybe you can do a little, like, a general umbrella for some of the main terms out there that people are using.
Oh, I feel like there are definitely like general definitions, but it's going to vary so much from like relationship to relationship. Like polyamory in general is like the, wow, this is a rainbow. This is an umbrella.
It is gay.
It's super gay. I'm gay all the time. Yeah, so it's being in different relationships with different people and also in different capacities, right? So you might have a romantic relationship with one person and an intimate relationship with another person and a platonic relationship with another person. It might be hierarchical, so you have like a primary partner, or it might not be, and it's kind of I've heard kitchen table poly is one of them, right? Where everyone gets along and does all the things together. You can have solo polyamory, which is just you, and then you are dating other folks. And I think it just, like, there are lots of different kinds. I don't know. Does that even answer your question?
Yeah. I think this is a point where we tell people to go read Polysecure.
Oh, yeah. And then if you like that, Polywise.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's, I mean, part of why I love this type of relationship dynamic is very similar to why I love our queer community so much, is everybody, like, takes a step back and out of the traditional and goes, how does this work for me? What do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And do I need to demand every romantic, financial, life-sustaining need from one person? Or can I get that through multiple people so nobody's burnt and stressed out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, the different ways that you can connect with different people is really fulfilling in other ways. And so, like, it's not cheating here, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's seeking out the different things with consent and with agreements. And
how do people come to the point, and I know there's a variety of answers here.
I was gonna say, I don't like that singularity.
What are some ways that people come to the point of being like, I might be somebody who really aligns with poly relationships versus a monogamous relationship?
I think that it's definitely an exploration and a conversation, right? So if you, well, from the perspective of if you're someone who's in a monogamous relationship already, then it's a lot of conversations of, like, I feel like we're missing something. It's not really something that we're able to come to a compromise on. Like, what would it be like if we opened it up, and having those different conversations versus, like, if you are solo at the moment and you just want to try it, like, there are apps that will help you find like-minded people, and you can explore that for yourself and see what feels good and feels right.
Since we're talking about apps, Field is one. There are other ones out there?
Yes. The answer is yes. And my brain is like, I don't know, I'm not on that. Bumble has.
Does Bumble have a poly?
I think they have a poly filter.
Okay, cool.
Nobody quote me on that. I will look.
Okay. Google knows.
Google knows. Yeah. Google knows the poly friendly apps.
Is poly something that only queer people do? Good luck with this question. Like,
you're such an asshole. I mean, I feel like it definitely falls, like, under the current feeling of society. Yeah, it does fall under the queer umbrella, but I don't necessarily think that that's all that it has to be. It's just different from patriarchy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, my answer is maybe, yeah. But not really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yes.
But yeah. And
like, it, I love these things. And they're impossible because you have to pull apart so much of the patriarchy, so much of the colonial thinking,
mm-hmm.
so much of the religiosity teachings to get to the point where you can re-enter into your relationships, into your gender, into your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a space in here where, like, that alone is such a queer, big zoom out queer experience, is like being separating yourself from what's expected to finding what's right for you. And in that, there's so much gray area stuff. Like, yes, you can be a cis het dude that dates multiple cis het women in a poly relationship, but those relationships aren't going to be traditional relationships. So no. Are they queer relationships? Because they're not normal relationships, quote unquote normal.
Yeah, I was going to say heavy air quotes, and also, yeah, like, queer in the dictionary is really just not normal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that is abnormal. So sure, I guess so. I have this, like, well, what if, I don't know. That's a good, yeah, that's a good question. It's a good thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a different podcast, but there's a bigger movement into expanding queerness. And I think a lot of people are just identifying with the queer label, so they don't have to get into the nitty gritty of like, these are my genitals, these are the type of genitals right. I like to touch. And I think that the relationship style is really starting to find itself in these spaces more.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Okay. Anyway, tangent. So let's bring it into therapy. How in your sessions is polyamory coming up in therapy, both with partners coming in and with individuals that you see?
How do you mean? How is it coming in?
Why would somebody need to talk about it in therapy?
Oh, because it's helped navigating different relationships and the what they want and their boundaries and how to ask for what they need and, not getting what they need and how do I feel secure in my relationships, right? Like it's all the things that quote unquote normal couples would come in for. But I think the difference with the poly is that like, it might not be because this person is my only person, right? Like I'm navigating this romantic dynamic with someone else, but I'm navigating this intimacy issue with someone else. But like this other person and I are commingling our finances. And so like, how do I navigate all these different things? And like, how do I maintain all of these relationships in ways they feel authentic?
What about when somebody is just starting to try poly? What things do you find coming up for them?
Jealousy is a big one.
Tell me more.
Because again, like we are so socialized to be with the one person, your one soulmate, your one true love. And so you get into spaces where it's like, well, how come my partner wants to spend time with their other partner? And that brings up a lot of insecurities and a lot of jealousy. And so it's how do you negotiate and navigate like your boundaries and your needs, and how do you come back together and how do you leave, and like how does everyone feel safe and feel like they get seen and validated?
So jealousy being a big one and a natural one, mm-hmm. Part of the process often is getting comfortable with jealousy and not feeling shame with jealousy. Mm-hmm. How do you start to reconcile, I like having multiple partners in my life, and I'm feeling jealous about one of my partner's new relationships because I know that they're really excited about it, and honor that jealousy while not acting on the jealousy?
Something that I also borrowed from Polysecure was like the finding the distractions, like something that feels good for you while you're experiencing that feeling, right? Like, oh, my partner is out and I'm feeling some kind of way, but this activity is really good for me and this makes me feel good, and I know that my partner is coming back and like we have a plan to come back together that feels good to me. And so like, how can I kind of sit with this and like remind myself of that, because I'm keeping my nervous system regulated, right? And then when they come back, like I can either talk about it if it's something like I need a shift in a need, or if I'm just like, oh, hey, you're back, and actually that feels good now that you're back.
yeah, that like coming back together is so powerful, mm-hmm. And especially when it keeps happening again and again and again and again, mm-hmm. Because we're taught in monogamous relationships that like when somebody is hanging out with people outside of you, it might be a threat and watch out, and they're gonna leave because they're getting something from somewhere else, or they're tired of you and you're boring, or mm-hmm. You know, whatever,
a thousand different things.
Yeah. But having that continual security continue to show up and be like, and I think we can talk about attachment in this place too, mm-hmm. Is like that really helps build that secure attachment.
Absolutely.
How are you, I mean, thinking about attachment, how are you finding people going into anxious attachment spaces versus secure attachment spaces in these dynamics? Like what's, if showing, continuing to reconnect after being apart is something that promotes that security, what's something that will promote more insecurity or anxiety in the attachment?
What pr- promotes more of it. I feel like constantly adding more detailed asks tends to, well, like putting more restrictions on things, right? Like it. Putting more restrictions on things will just kind of reinforce that you need more restrictions in order to keep, again, heavy air quotes, keep them around, right? Versus like having the conversation about like, there's actually like an emotional something that I'm missing. Is there a different way that we can part? Is so I feel like calmer when we leave, or what do I need to do to make sure that I can stay regulated in this space? But if you just keep putting like unreasonable demands on others, then you are just going to feel more anxious, mm-hmm. because you're going to feel your partner pulling away with the like, well, hold on a minute, right? Instead of talking these things out and like agreeing with what feels good for both of you.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying about that like emotional thing that's happening. Instead of getting caught up in the, well, they stayed out later than they said they were going to, and I need them home at 10:30. It's like, no, that's not what's happening. That might be like functionally what happened, but emotionally, I don't think 30 minutes really did anything. Mm-mm. So what, let's get into the emotional conversations. And that's where you're connecting with your partner to begin with.
Right, exactly. So what happened for you when you were half an hour late, right? Like, okay, I was feeling abandoned. I was feeling ignored. Okay, so like how else can we kind of negotiate around this, and like what could both of us have done differently to smooth that out?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we got a couple questions in that are specific and interesting. So I'm just going to read them and we'll roll and see what
happens. My favorite kind. Let's just roll with it. No spicy is not
Okay. I'm interested in exploring poly relationships and I've been dating, but I don't know how to bring things up to my therapist. I feel like I need help figuring out how to be myself and tell people that I'm dating what I'm looking for. My therapist is older and married and I don't think he will understand.
I hate when you give me these because I'm like, get a new therapist.
I mean, part of what I'm hearing here is this person hasn't even approached it with their therapist at all.
Right. And so my first thing is like, do you feel secure enough in your relationship with your therapist to ask, like, just to put it out there? Being like, what do you know about... Right? What do you know about polyamory? What do you know about ethical non-monogamy? What do you know about? Mm-hmm. And just go from there. If they're like, I have no idea. Okay, well then, let's cross that bridge when we get to it. But like, right?
Yeah. It makes me wonder how much like they've internalized that there's something wrong with poly. Like if they're not even bringing it up to be like, hey, I'm... interested in this relationship style. I started to do it. Are you open to talking about that? If even that question is really scary to approach, one, is there something that the therapist is doing to communicate to you that this is not okay, which is something that happens? Mm-hmm. And two, like, what's happening for you? Like, it's not internalized homophobia, but it's internalized polyphobia. I don't know what to call it.
Yes.
But there's something in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you are a married therapist and love working in poly relationship spaces.
Yes.
So it doesn't...
And let's face it, I am older than most of my clients. So... But I feel like this question is asking something different.
Okay, this question just gave me too many more questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Such that we're not going to be able to get to because this person isn't here. okay. What is a way, let me fix my brain. What is a way to bring it up to a therapist? If it's somebody you're working with for a while, let's say you're working on childhood trauma stuff and you want to bring this in and it hasn't even been talked about, and it's new for you, you're not sure if the therapist can handle it. What are some ways to bring that up?
I mean, other than the, I'm thinking about doing this, what are your thoughts about poly?
For people who are more passive communicators.
That is not an appropriate thought. I need to get rid of that one. For people who are more passive communicators and they want to bring up poly and have not broached that at all. What if you just say, like, I've been dating this person, and then talk about them, and then I've also been dating this other person, and just see, like, does therapist automatically assume that you are cheating on one, or does therapist, you know, say, like, oh, are, like, multiple relationships, like, your, the way that you do this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's dive into another question.
Okay.
So we've got some indirect ways and some direct ways to bring it up to your therapist. Great. I told my therapist that I'm polyamorous and I have a few partners who play different roles in my life. My therapist told me she's fine with this, but I keep feeling like she doesn't take my relationship seriously and keeps guiding me to commit to just one person. What should I do?
I mean, if you were a direct communicator, I would maybe explain the structure of poly that you are practicing, right? Like, that sounds, I forgot half of it, but what it sounded like was a little more like not hierarchical is what that sounded like. And so maybe it's just a, well, I'm not really looking for a primary partner at this time. So I'd really like to figure out like what this looks like in a more level playing field option. See how that goes.
Yeah, because there might have been a previous conversation you had where you maybe were just dating one person, and so the therapist thought you were more interested in a hierarchical dynamic and hasn't picked up on the fact that that's not where you're at or what you're interested in.
Yeah, and if this person is, quote, fine with this, that doesn't mean they're educated on it. There's a lot of, like, we have the primary partner because patriarchy, and like the rest of them are the lesser peon partners, which is not how everybody practices. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's just a misunderstanding and they unfortunately need a little education.
How would somebody who is how would a therapist who is educated in poly handle a conversation with this person when there's like, oh, I've dated Sally and Joe and Frank and person Q, like, and talks about them all kind of equally? How would an educated polytherapist handle those conversations?
I mean, I can talk about this from my level. I always talk about, okay, so what is the structure that you follow, right? Like, so, and then knowing that, like, ahead of time, right? Like, that's my zoom out here that we're starting. And as they're talking about these different people, I ask them to kind of like map where they are. Okay, if you do follow a hierarchical, are they your primary? Are they someone on the outside? If they're, are they an anchor partner? Are they a casual partner? Like, what are your definitions of this and how are we moving through? Where do they fit? So we kind of understand what your agreements are with each level or person type of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a space in here too of the structure that you work in and maybe aiming for may not be where you're at with any given partner.
100%.
Like, great, I want to do solo poly, but that doesn't mean each of my relationships carry equal weight.
Like, also, right.
Right? Somebody I've been dating for 2 years is going to mean more to me than somebody I met 2 weeks ago. And that's no comment on my relationship style or these people. Mm-mm. But just, of course, I'm going to be more attached to somebody I've been with for longer.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like it's the tracking of like where they are and what your definitions of that are. And then, oh, I am feeling closer to so-and-so. Like, even if they are only 2 weeks old, by the time they get to 2 months old, maybe you are closer to them, mm-hmm. like, than your two-year partner, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, is that dynamic shifting? And then what does that feel like? What does that mean? Does it mean anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just understanding how your client views this and their structure is helpful to help them kind of navigate this. Mm-hmm.
I'm also, I don't think this is what is happening with this person, but it's making me wonder if they might be polysaturated and don't know it yet.
Well, how many partners did you give me? Like six?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't.
They're not on this thing of paper.
But like, how would somebody know if they're polysaturated, right? Like if they've got maybe too many people that they're dating. And they're feeling a little spent, and this therapist might be picking up on that, but not educated enough to cue into that's what's happening.
I mean, I think that's a great question in terms of tracking your own experiences, right? And like, are they feeling spent and burned out and saturated because there are too many folks? Is it because they are too deeply enmeshed with too many people and like they're not getting what they need in return? Are they just a people pleaser who just wants to be with all like there are so many options. Mm-hmm. And like it comes with like honest conversations and like really understanding the feeling component of like why am I feeling like this? Oh, I'm giving too much. Okay, then, right? Like being in intimate relationships with a lot of folks, does it takes a lot because mm-hmm. not only like emotional components and things, but like logistical things, like their scheduling and their other, like we're adult humans with jobs and other things. So like there's a lot that goes into this.
Mm-hmm. How do you start to get comfortable having these difficult conversations, one with yourself, and with multiple different partners? I think that one of the things that I love the most about poly is like to do poly well, you have to be such a good emotional communicator. Mm-hmm. How do you start that journey?
With yourself.
How do you get like somebody's been doing it for a while, they're like hitting some like personal deeper stuff, they trying to figure out how to communicate it. How do you, what are some ways to de-heighten is not a word, but we're going to use it anyway.
De-escalate.
Take really heightened emotions and get comfortable with them. So when you're feeling jealousy, when you're feeling fear, when you're feeling anxious, you're not taking it as seriously as the feelings may feel. You can kind of be like, oh, anxiety's here again.
I mean, I feel like that's all a really good practice of emotional regulation and like what are the things that you know you need to stay at like your comfort level, right? Like what are the things that bring you back down so you can objectively look at a thing and be like, okay, big emotion, took a break. Okay, that's what's actually happening. I can either see that was attached to, you know, this thing I've experienced before, or like I really just didn't like that action. Mm-hmm. Right? And then how can I have a grounded conversation and be like, it's not you as a person, it's this thing. Can we come to a different agreement? Because people will grow at different paces and will grow in different directions, and being able to talk about the thing, mm-hmm. but also like from a grounded place is mm-hmm. important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's making me think of a conversation we were having earlier, how taking a beat to respond instead of reacting in the moment to what's happening isn't avoidance. It's a really healthy way to like ground in yourself, take some time to take in all the emotions as information, mm-hmm. but not necessarily facts, mm-hmm. assess the situation, the partner, all of the things, and then respond.
Yep. Yeah. It is there. Part of the conversation that we were I was having earlier was like you get into this really heightened state and your body automatically goes into like fight, flight, fawn, freeze. And you're going to react to that thing and your brain is not online. Mm-mm. Your brain is not online. So if you want to have a logical conversation where you can see all of that, your body has to come back down. Mm-hmm. And that can be through a variety of ways, whatever works for you. But like you can't come at it just spewing random stuff because that's not going to get anybody anywhere.
No, not at all. I'm not going to remember. There's I'll link to it in the show notes. There was another therapist or neuroscientist that posted a really good explanation of the parts of your brain that go offline in these moments that was really just beautifully done and really clear and just like, don't even try. Like you can't will yourself through this.
No.
Just it's offline. Go eat a sandwich.
Yep, your brain is like, it's like a computer, like it overheated and it needs a minute to like cool down and reboot. Just like go, literally, go eat a sandwich, go drink some water, go wash your hands, go pee. Like do any of these things that don't require lashing out at your partner.
Okay, back to questions.
Great.
I feel like we already answered that one, so I'm going to skip two. I need relationship therapy in my triad or secondary polycule, but all I see out there is called couples therapy, and I'm really frustrated. Doesn't anybody care about my life?
We do.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We do, we do. I think, again, it goes back to, like, that is just the socialized, like, that is what people are seeing, and it's like the most quote Google searchable like thing. There are folks out there, like there are folks that will see people in poly relationships, and albeit they're harder to find. Mm. I'll validate that. It sucks.
It does. It's tough. How do you, and this is a future podcast that you and I are going to do, but
is it?
Yes, you've already wanted to say this one. How do you interview a relationship therapist to know if they're actually poly-educated versus just saying they are?
I think my potential clients have probably done more education on this for me than anything else, because some of the questions I get, I was like, oh, okay. I think it's asking. Like, it's literally asking about, okay, what do you know about this? And how do you work with this, right? The folks that come to see me lately have been very direct about, like, these are the things that we need help with, and this is the structure, and this is what I want to look at from this lens. Because I also...
What's an example?
Oh, like the... having mismatched ways that they practice poly. Mm-hmm. So like hierarchical versus non-hierarchical, and not having super clear conversations about that to start with. And like, and kind of like what you mentioned earlier, right? Like when you've been with a partner for so long, like the person who might be practicing hierarchical might assume that like you're moving in this space, but the other person's like, well, it's not what I wanted, right? Mm-hmm. But like the conversations aren't always aligning with what need to be there. And so they were very upfront with me, like in the interview, like, hey, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, then we have to have a conversation about like new agreements. We have to have conversations about like, what is this actually looking like? How do you want this to look, right? And so they were like, oh, that makes more sense. And so
yeah, and I think that's something that's not talked about enough in poly conversations, well, mental health poly at least, is that you can have two people in a poly relationship, but if they have different poly structures for themselves, there's a whole nother layer to that relationship that really needs to get sorted out between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Because just because you're poly doesn't mean you're the same poly.
Absolutely not. And it also, that shifts the structure sometimes, right? Like, of the partners that they also have. And, like, the outside. Like, so if one of them is practicing, like, everyone is about equal and, like, on, like, level playing field, but different distances mm-hmm. from the center versus, like, up a ladder, then it's like, well, depending where you move, that shifts other people. And, like, how do I now relate to these other people? And if we're shifting this, like, it gets, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, some of my clients are like, well, my partner's getting married to their other partner. And that's a really big thing for me, right? So there are lots of different, lots of different things that come up that fit outside of the mm-hmm. traditional. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are some, if let's go back to the beginning, and this will kind of be our last question, is for somebody who's listening to this and they've been, maybe they've read PolySecure or one of the other.
Like More Than Two or.
Yeah. I mean, there's a
small handful.
Yeah. I was about to say there's a ton of, I'm not, no, there's like, not. No, there's like,
a, there's yeah. a small handful.
Ethical Slut, even that one's great, but it's still kind of out of date at this point. Anyway, if somebody's on the apps, starting to have some conversations, read some books, thinks it might be useful for them, what are some good ways that they can get support for themselves? Or things that they can ask themselves or structures they can put in place to be helpful as they enter into this relationship style?
I think that it's that like emotional honesty is not the word that I want. It's that emotional
intelligence.
It's gone. That works, I guess. It's like that emotional awareness piece, right? Like noticing how certain things feel as you start to develop different ways of interacting and being in relationship with folks, right? Like it's, okay, that actually doesn't feel good. Does that not feel good because I've got internalized stuff going on, or does that not feel because that is not the structure that I want? Okay, like what are some things that I can do to change that? And it's just being really aware of yourself and really honest with yourself and not just gonna be like, I'm just gonna do whatever this person that I'm newly dating is doing because I don't know any better, right? Mm-hmm. Like really decide if that, sure, try it on, but really decide if that feels good mm-hmm. or not as you explore. Mm-hmm. And like, if I'm sure that you're meeting friends as you like go about this, like have conversations with them. That's kind of what I love about queer and poly folks in general, is like we like to talk about all the things. Yet to meet a queer person who doesn't want to talk about the thing, right? Like, so let's explore it.
Yeah. Yeah. Try it on. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't fit, you don't have to do it.
Nope. Yeah. Really don't.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for picking this topic and like diving in with me today. It's such a expansive space to be questioning relationship styles and then having like the self-empowerment to be like, I think I want to do it this way or that way or in the whatever way feels good. And I love that the clients that are coming to see you have a safe space to explore that with somebody who knows what they're talking about, so they're not being misguided.
Yeah. I'm doing my best.
So, while you and I love therapy and we think it's very important, it is just a piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And community is the thing that helps us thrive. Therapy helps us heal and community helps us thrive. Do we believe that? I don't know. We're going with it for today.
So I was like, what? That was so many words. I don't know. Do I?
What is an example in the past week or so where you felt really connected to your queer community?
So I teach dance classes on the side, and the like in that culture, like dance mom is like a thing, but I'm non-binary and like I don't identify with that. And so one of my students started calling me dance unit. Like dad doesn't feel good either, and I just thought it was the cutest thing, and they were like screaming unit across the studio because they needed my attention, and it was really cute.
That's adorable.
I thought so.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will be back in a handful of episodes to talk about similar topic, but finding a therapist who can talk about BDSM and different sexual experiences very comfortably. And so keep your ears out. If you have questions or anything you want to ask about this topic or future topics, you can DM us on any of the socials. You can email us at info@openspacetherapycollective.com. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you're in California and looking for a therapist, visit our website at openspacetherapycollective.com and book a free intro call with one of our therapists. If you're enjoying My Therapist Is Out, please rate, review, and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. My Therapist Is Out is an Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. Our therapists are Renee Johnson, Kristen Crow, Debbie White, Jenny Nigro, and Tara Friedman. Our podcast editing is done by Smash and Grab Studio. We'd love to hear from you about today's topic, so you can email us at info@openspacetherapycollective.com. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at My Therapist Is Out and Open Space Therapy Collective. Thanks for listening.